Good day or good evening, depending upon where in the world you are, and welcome once again to Full Frontal, the show where we get down to the naked facts with our guests. I'm your host, August Donnelly, and thanks for tuning in right here on CHRW 94.9 FM. I hope my listeners had a first-class Monday as they wage the good war in the urban forests of Ontario and elsewhere. The great thing about this show is the fact that I get to meet and speak with so many interesting people. And recently, I had a chance to sit down with Mac Graham, one of the great talents and even greater personalities to come out of the Canadian arts and music scene of late. Some of you will already know of Mac from his long time spent with the acclaimed group The McCauley Brothers. He's been working as a musician and performer for many years to date, since his childhood in fact. And now that Mac is out on his own, with a new album in the works and singles already released to the public, he's making quite a name for himself. So, without further discourse or delay, you'll hear the interview as it went down and catch the 411 from the man himself. Enjoy. Mac, thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having me, August.
So, tell us a bit about your beginnings. Tell the folks at home, you know, where you were born, where you grew up.
Well, I was born in the GTA, Scarborough, Ontario, just a couple hours away from here. Mm-hmm. The third of four children, parents who was here from the island of Grenada. So, first generation Canadian, but Caribbean. So, for all this is representing for all your islanders out there, especially my Grenadian people.
So, obviously, music is your thing. You know, for people that know you, and for those that don't know you, they're gonna know you. So, when did you first see music as an interest, or you know, were you a musical child? How did that come about?
Well, my parents are musical. Like, my father was in a band called the Minstrels. They toured around for a fair bit before we moved up to Canada through the States from Grenada. My mom also sang with her sisters.
Okay.
She had seven sisters, so they had like a giant, like pretty much small choir.
Big.
You know? And so they were musical. They put us up into music lessons and stuff. And, you know, you don't really think about music as an interest until you, like, cross into being a teenager and you start to realize that you get girls. So, I mean, I was in music lessons from five, and then we started singing as a group when I was 12 years old. And by the time I hit high school, girls would start, you know, coming to my high school to try and catch a glimpse of me at lunch. I thought, you know what? This is cool.
Yeah?
I might do this for a little while. And I love music.
So it's definitely not just your brothers then. Mom and Dad were musical?
Mom and Dad, too. The whole family, extended family, everybody. Christmas parties, Christmas, Thanksgiving, all that stuff would be just guitars and people singing until 2 o'clock in the morning.
This is going to be a question that every musician dreads hearing. It's not a bad question, though, but I think it's just so superficial, and I think that's why it rubs some musicians the wrong way. Do you, personally, yourself, do you read music or play instruments at all?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do both. I read music not that well, to be honest.
Right.
It's one of those things that it's kind of like reading French for me.
Right.
Where I actually took French for many, many, many years, so I understand it, but I prefer to speak it. So, yeah, I do read it, but I prefer to play it, and I like playing anything. I'll pick up anything.
Yeah.
You know, guitar was something I picked up for a little while there. Piano was my first instrument, played the cello as well, and, you know, anything that can make sound, I'll get on it.
Now that you're on your own, you know, getting places, getting a name for yourself, I think the initial experience was with your brothers, or the first, you know, kind of limelight exposure. How does, how does the family feel, or how do your brothers feel now that you're, you know, out on your own and kind of and doing your own thing, maybe a little, to a bigger degree than you did before?
Well, you know, it's all choices, and they're all really supportive. They're part of this, too. I do some writing with them because I trust them. So I write with them. I actually am producing this record with my oldest brother, Gary.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we still work together. They're really supportive, and they really push. They help a lot. You know, they help make the craft better, which is really important. And, you know, they're really proud. They help a lot. They're very supportive. Mm-hmm.
What would you say is your most important accomplishment to date, given, I mean, like I said, you've done the thing with your brothers, you've been out on your own now, you've got a very musical family. Difficult to pick one specific thing, so, you know, by no means is there pressure to pick one, you know, aspect of your past per se, but what would you say is the most poignant moment in your career in the entertainment industry thus far?
Wow. Yeah, that's big, actually. You know, there's been a lot of meetings with some true legends who have inspired me on a musical level, on a personal level,
mm-hmm.
and getting a chance to meet them is like earth-shattering. It's as amazing as it is frightening. I can't think of any one particular. I could throw out a couple. I mean, we opened for Gladys Knight.
Yeah.
Had dinner with Gladys Knight.
Wow.
Who's just the, like, you want her to be in your family. Like, she's just the coolest, she's the coolest woman ever. And there's James Brown, you know, God rest his soulful soul.
Yes.
And we open for him, and he, again, is just like, I mean, he's James Brown. I don't know what to say about him. You watch him, you see him, whatever, and you meet him in real life, and face to face and man to man, he's exactly the same way you would think that he is.
Really?
And he's just incredible. So, I mean, I don't really know. There's a bunch of other things, too. I mean, there's fantastic experiences I've had being on stage in front of massive audiences, just sharing it with my brothers, which some of the people usually don't get to do.
Right.
Plus,
right.
His name is Tito Germain, Randy, whatever. You know, you don't get to do stuff like that. Just sit there with your family and move through this with people that you trust and love so much. But also, you know, I mean, the list is endless, but I'd have to say, actually, I can't say anything.
Those.
No, I can't say anything. But those two, like, have really left their mark on me. Because
really
those people who are high-achieving, super soulful, but very cool, down-to-earth people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, living, and not living any longer, but an example of how you can be great, not become completely lost in the glamour and glitz of it, and still be a very real person.
Albeit removed, but being of African heritage, I know you're fairly active amongst London's black community. Just tell us a bit about how you stay abreast of what's going on with that and some of the events that maybe you've partaken in and the ones that have, you know, affected you, you know, maybe more so than others.
Well, my mother is the current president of the Congress of Black Women of London, Ontario, like the London chapter. And so, you know, as a kid growing up, she always used to say, you got to come to this event, it's really important, of course. You know, you're concerned with G.I. Joe's, Play-Doh, whatever it is, like hanging out with your friends, trying to chase that girl, whatever it is. But she never gave up on trying to hammer home to us how important it was to know where you came from. If you don't know where you come from, you don't know where you're going. And so every month they host a Black History Month celebration, which, so we're clear, you know, however people feel about Black History Month, it's important to celebrate and to understand mm-hmm. the marginalization of the people who were your forefathers.
Yeah.
And really see kind of the gifts and look past the hatred and the anger and get to the point where we start to see the gifts and all the attributes and all the wonderful things that the black culture shared.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom has been very instrumental in keeping us close to that.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, I've kind of started reading a lot of books. I mean, there's in a city like London, Ontario, you're not going to fall into a whole haven of people that are just like dwelling on black culture. That happens at the university level. It happens at the college. But it doesn't really happen, you know, on the streets of London, Ontario. So you got to do your homework. And mm-hmm. if you're a black Canadian, if you're a black Londoner or a black North American, go to the library. Check out a book. Google mm-hmm. something. Find out, you know, devote a month to reading a book by some great black author. So my latest thing now is trying to catch up on some things I just don't know. A dear friend of mine put me onto a book by Ralph Ellison, which is called The Invisible Man, which is basically the definitive novel on the state of being black in North America.
Mm.
And apparently the only book to win, to be both on the New York Times best, top 100 books of the 20th century as a fiction and as a work of history. And it is a fantastic novel thus far. And I expect it to be, you know, even farther. And it was written 40 years ago and not wrong. It's not off. You know, we're there. And I guess the best way to stay abreast is to just educate yourself. It's, you have to do that. I mean, that's what every person has to do.
Yeah.
Whether they're Irish, Scottish, English, you know, whatever it is, wherever you come from, you got to educate yourself. That's your job, nobody else's job.
The book you mentioned, I know myself, just, you know, from studying history, it's a very prolific novel. It's endured, like you say, several decades now, and every bit as relevant, you know, now as it was, you know, half a century ago. Which to me is, you know, the true definition of a great artist is an artist that can transcend cultural boundaries, religious boundaries, gender boundaries, you know, whatever else. So, you know, given what you've told us about your heritage and, you know, your pride in that and your love of the learning of that aspect of your history, do you find that there was a particular artist, be it a black artist or otherwise, that really influenced you as a kid that you really looked up to, you really wanted to emulate, you know, that really just said, like, man, that's the ticket, that's going to get me into music, that's, I want to be like him or her, you know? I'm sure, you know, there's a list as long as your arm.
It's ridiculous. You know what? Being a kid of the 80s, being, like, around you know, real early bubblegum pop type of thing.
Yeah.
I have to say, and I'm sure many people who are about my around my age, I ain't gonna give that.
Tiffany's Mall music and that kind of thing.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Debbie Gibson and all that other ish.
Oh yeah.
I'm telling you, obviously Michael Jackson, like when he was like Quincy Jones and all that stuff, you hear those productions and you say to yourself, good God, I can't do this, because it's just way too deep. And this is all analog, by the way. This isn't digital stuff. So this is like layers and layers of live recording. Strings, guitars, whatever it is all live. Obviously, Michael Jackson was like the start. For me, I will safely say Michael Jackson was the starting point. Then you look at Michael Jackson, you look at who he says he learned from, and you go back, and you go back, and you go back. James Brown is on that list. Like, I'm trying to think of all those people, like... I mean, all the pioneers of early, like, 50s rock and roll who weren't allowed to be part of the whole contemporary music scene.
Like a Fats Domino.
Yeah, Frankie Lyman, Fats Domino, like, Chubby Checker to a certain... Like, Chubby Checker, but you know what I'm saying. Like, you go deep and deep, you start to hear these things like Percy Faith, Percy Sledge.
Hello. Yep.
All these guys. Sometimes you look at the stuff you're saying, you look... but there's just so many people, you go go back and back down the line. The thing is, you start with one. And if you just spend some time to look at the person, like what they listen to. I'm a big fan of Jeff Buckley. Not black, not part of anything that probably is related to anything we've spoken about before, but full of soul. Where it came from, I don't know. But, you know, you look back at the people he listened to and a lot of the great French jazz singers who got a lot of their stuff from the American jazz singers. You know, the people you mentioned already, Etta James, Ella Fitzgerald, these people. And you just listen to something, you listen to the way they lace the song, and you say to yourself, oh, God, I want to do that. And it's like individual performances you've heard, individual tracks. You can pick one artist, but sometimes out of like 50 artists, you can pick one song from each person and say, I want to do that thing. All those 50 things, I'll be able to do that. For me, as a kid, it started with Michael Jackson because he moonwalked. Because at that point, he clearly was. And he's proved that in the last 20 years. But.
Because he was talented, he had good historical ties, the man did his homework, and he moonwalked.
Well, come on.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen, with August Donnelly, with Matt Graham as my guest. You heard it first right here on CHRW 94.9 FM. Michael Jackson, Moonwalk.
Think about this, though, right? He didn't do that first. You know, Fred Astaire laid that down. And you look at these people like Bojangles. If you look at the Bojangles, Bojangles and what's her name? Little one I don't like, Shirley Temple. And then you look at Sammy Davis Jr. I mean, God, Sammy Davis Jr., I forgot.
Especially when you think about him for his time being a member of the Rat Pack, being, you know, a racial minority.
Not being allowed to go through the front door of the casino, but going through the back.
Exactly, and that's what kills me. The man was so multi-talented, so good at what he did, a world-class entertainer, but like you say, I mean, wasn't allowed to enter through the front of the casino or club or wherever, you know, he and the rest of the troupe were performing.
Mm-hmm.
But they get up on stage and it's, you know...
He shrugged that off, but for me... I actually love music. I'm in love with the song.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever it is. I mean, the song could be a 20-minute symphony. It could be a 2.5-minute radio banger. But I'm in love with the song, like the art of the song. And that right there transcends all the other barriers. Like, there's people who are, you know, you love it. You love it because you'll see some people who are just straight not hip-hop or fully hip-hop, whatever. You go in the club and... that one song I was laughing about the other day. I was in the club and I saw some guy getting down to Money Money. But the guy was straight thugged out. Thugged out from head to toe.
Oh,
but the problem
geez.
Is, he couldn't help himself. As drunk as he was also. A full symphony orchestra or Dr. Dre working on some NPC 4000 somewhere. I mean, great music is great music. That's the bottom line. Great music is great music.
That's
what I'm a fan of.
That is the truth. Mac, I greatly appreciate your time and your candid nature and the fact that you've told us so much about who you are and the fact that you've opened up what kind of makes you tick and your preferences and your influences. But before you go, it's time for a little segment that I like to call Questions with August Donnelly. See, this is the part of the show where I get to have a little bit more fun with my kind and hopefully cooperative guests by asking random and sometimes ridiculous questions.
All right.
If you're willing,
bring it.
We can begin whenever you're ready. Just answer with whatever comes to mind. Just remember there's no wrong answers.
Bring it.
Okay.
Get it cracking.
Question one, Mac. What kind of lessons would you be willing to pay money for?
Lessons. piloting. I want to fly.
Hey, there's one I never thought of. If you had a superpower, would you choose the ability to read minds or the ability to pour drinks very quickly without ever spilling a drop?
Now that's a trick question right there. Right there. You want to know why that's a trick question?
Why is that a trick question?
Because if you can pour drinks without spilling a drop, you could eventually get the person sitting across from you to spill whatever is going on in their mind anyways.
Okay. If a man brings a prescription for Viagra to the pharmacy, is it strange for him to ask, will it be long?
Ah, you guys tailed me to the front of the Shoppers. Dang. Yes, strange.
That's strange. Okay, gotcha. Do guns kill people or do people kill people?
People kill people.
All right, then. Huh. If you had to be trapped inside a video game indefinitely, which game would it be?
Grand Theft Auto.
Awesome. What song, now this is going to be difficult being a musician.
Okay, all right.
What song could best represent the theme for your life?
Ooh.
I know, that right there is the barn burner. That's the heavyweight.
Ooh. Okay, all right. The real situation, Bob Marley.
What phrase or phrases do you tend to overuse?
There it is. I said it. I say that every time I say something that I shouldn't say.
There it is,
I said it. That usually happens.
Oh, comma, I said it.
There it is, comma, I said it. That usually happens about 20 times a day.
In your opinion or experience, can long-distance relationships work?
No.
Okay. Would you rather go scuba diving or skydiving?
Skydiving.
What is the grossest thing... Now, let me preface this. This is strictly for the sake of... obtaining or ascertaining information. This is in no way a lewd or lascivious question. What is the grossest thing you have ever had in your mouth, willingly or otherwise? You know, we've all been riding the bike down the hill, swallow the June bug, you know, you get that crunchy insect material between the bicuspid and the molar, and you're going crazy, and you're out of... Anyway...
The most disgusting thing I've ever had in my mouth. Okay. This is safe enough. Fair enough. I once ate a burger. Half of said burger. And then took the time to look at the burger. Tiny larvae crawling on the burger.
Oh, my goodness.
I said larvae. Maggots.
I
won't say where it came from, but I ate it. Half of it. And then I probably threw it up.
And then, but you noticed the maggots after you proceeded to continue eating
half of the burger.
Oh goodness!
But in all fairness, for my trouble, I got another burger from the establishment.
What were there? Were there more maggots in this particular burger?
The second burger didn't have any maggots in it, but I didn't eat it. So
did you donate it to a charity or a worthwhile cause?
Yeah, I donated it to the Shut 'Em Down Fund.
Oh jeez.
Next.
Who is the most interesting or influential person you have ever met? And I know that kind of stems to what I was talking about earlier. You know, you mentioned James Brown. You mentioned Gladys Knight, I believe.
Yes.
So aside from those two, if you can think of somebody else step back from the music.
Interesting. Oh, step back from music?
Well, not that we have to. If you got something, being a musician, that's, you know, if that's your raison d'être, then by all means go with that.
But I'll give you two.
Okay.
The one is my grandmother, who the last time I saw her alive, she sang to me Three Little Birds by Bob Marley, which could have been my theme song for life. Every little thing's going to be all right, she said to me. And at that particular time, I was really, really stressed out about some stuff. Sang this song to me, and I said... And it brought me to tears.
Yeah,
straight up. But
I can imagine.
That was her thing, right? Always was like... She's chided me about how ugly I was. It's funny. She'd say, you're so ugly. Which was the opposite, because I'm so damn good looking. But... that was a theme for our whole relationship. She was just like a pillar of strength. As far as... Sorry... Yeah, influential, let's say. As far as the music side, Aretha Franklin.
You've met Aretha?
Yes.
No.
And I will tell you why Aretha Franklin's one of the most influential.
Aside from the blatantly apparent reasons.
No, this is one that's blatantly unapparent.
Okay.
That's what because she wasn't very nice.
Really?
Yeah, we opened for her.
She was cold.
She wasn't very nice.
Aretha was cold?
Yeah. after we warmed up the crowd, I happened to be standing right next to her when she came in, and
no.
I was in awe. And this is the first time that I saw her. And you know, we opened for her a couple times, and I looked at her and I was like, "Wow, this is Aretha Franklin."
Oh, that's huge.
And she looked at me, although I don't think she really knew who I was at the time, and she said, "Close that door." And I was like, "Oh yeah, I can close like the stage door." She stared me in the face and said, No. And she like brushed me out the door. She said, "Close the door," and get out the door. and I walked out the door and I was like, "Wow, I mean that's cool. I mean I just got straight dissed by Aretha Franklin." But I said, I was like, "Man, if I ever get to where she is, I will never do that. I won't do that."
Good
especially
for you.
Having I'll also spent the time with Gladys Knight and I almost said Bobby Brown, James Brown, and seeing them how down to earth and how normal they are, I was like, "Yeah, you know what? Forget it. That's not happening."
Good for you.
So, Grandma, Aretha Franklin, there it is, for two opposite reasons.
There you go, and that's sometimes the best situation, right? If you can get, you know, the one with the antithesis of the other, that's you know, what leaves an indelible impression on your psyche, I think, especially if it happens earlier on in life as a young man. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's kind of the quintessential, you know, example of what not to do. I was just going to say, it's like what not to wear, but what not to do.
What not to do.
Now, here's a bombshell. What is your biggest pet peeve?
My biggest pet peeve is cyber talk.
Cyber talk?
Yeah, LOL, LM, whatever.
LMAO,
stuff
like that.
LMAO, all that other stuff.
Now, when you say that, do you mean when people actually use that in the in the text or the body of an email, or when they actually
people say it, and when people use it?
People actually. Okay, hang on here.
I do know people who say it.
People say that?
That's ridiculous.
People, wait a minute.
Say it. It's ridiculous.
People say LOL.
Yeah. If you think that's a problem, wait. In about 10 years, I think a lot more people will be saying it. I'm a fan of. I read a lot of books.
LOL.
It's not English. And anybody who watches the show Californication, which I'm a huge fan.
Yes.
Hank Moody ripped on this a little while ago.
Yep,
but it's funny that he said that because I hate that. I hate it.
You can actually be as passionate to say the word hate.
I hate it. It's not a pet peeve. I hate
there,
it.
There you go. There it is.
I really do.
I just in the same vein, I heard from several family members of mine that are younger, you know, high school age, 15 to 18, that demographic, or 14 to 17, whatever. How old are the kids now when they go to school? I don't know anything. I'm so completely out of the loop, it isn't even funny. What year is this? What day is this? Who am I? But apparently... students at the grade 12 and equivalent level are submitting papers, not only in history or geography or the other arts classes or sciences or social sciences.
What you're about to say didn't piss me off.
But in English, yes, it's going to anger you, and I'm going to have to ask you to sit back from the table so you don't damage any of the recording equipment. They submit papers to English teachers, no word of a lie, with LOL or LMAO or whatever electronic or internet-based acronyms, you know, if you can believe it, or they will spell you, Y-O-U, with a letter U.
Yeah, you know what?
Or not much as N-M, or later as L number 8 or numeral 8.
No.
Yeah, it's, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners right now are LOLing. Left, right, and center.
They're AOs or whatever.
They're LMing their AOs. If one in five people suffer from diarrhea, do the other four enjoy it?
Absolutely. Nothing says relief.
Nothing.
Nothing spells relief like that, which I won't start to spell.
Nothing spells relief like evacuating your bowels.
There it is.
To use a medical term.
Yeah. Hey.
So you know, we cannot edit out proper. And
yes.
Concise medical terminology.
Listen, have you ever traveled to a foreign place, eaten some foreign food, and spent the next week doing something funny?
I spent the night in the bathroom in Montreal, which is still Canada, ladies and gentlemen, regardless of referendums. It is still Canada. They still use the loonie, which, on par with the American dollar, is a mighty nice thing, depending upon what aspect of infrastructure you're talking about. But I went to Montreal and had, of course, the world-famous Montreal smoked meat.
Mm-hmm.
Nice sandwich. It was delicious. I had an au jus with gravy and, with juice. But, of course, that's like kind of the beef runoff. And I had all kinds of red wine with it, but the red wine was not to blame. I'll tell you why. Because red wine is never to blame. And number two, I spent
red wine is never to blame.
I spent the next 8 hours
losing water
in my exactly. I was displacing water. It was atrocious, to be perfectly honest, ladies and gentlemen. It was not a good scene, and I feel so sorry for the housekeeper who had to deal with my affliction that I left a $20 tip in American money, which at the time was like, you know, $6,000 Canadian. That's enough of that. First of all, thank you very much for your time.
Anytime.
What's the latest deal right now? Do you have what's the website or the email, or how can stalkers get a hold of you? How can people?
I'll leave my home phone number.
How can people send you inappropriate correspondence?
Well, right now I have a MySpace page, which I think a lot of people have. MySpace.com/MacGraham, GRAHAM, not GRAM.
And that's Mac, like Big Mac, MAC.
That's correct.
Sans K.
That's right. Got that. It's an old childhood nickname. I couldn't shake it. MySpace.com/MacGraham. And sometime in the near future, in the very near future, MacGrahamWorld.com will be launched.
Awesome.
That's probably going to coincide with the release of the record, which will be coming out in spring of 2008, and it's tentatively titled Electrofunk.
Awesome.
But it's actually fantastic. I'm pretty happy with it.
And that's just about how it goes down with my man Mac Graham. He's always engaging, gregarious, and fun to sit down with for a bit of a rap. As mentioned, Mac's new album should be hitting the shelves sometime before summer of next year. So now, for your listening pleasure, here's a brief sample of the man behind the music, with sounds from his single entitled Rock You. Check this out.
This is for the girl at the bar. Half of a fast like a race car. Where you from, girl? I love that accent. Better yet, girl, tell me where your man went. Stop talking and get up off the wall. Hit the dance floor, show me how you ball. You're a hot chick, come on, rock it. Give it to me now, ain't nobody watching.
Have a glass of Chardonnay. We're gonna do it my way. You wanna rock it, baby? I'm gonna rock you, girl. So I'm dancing like a fire. I'm at your body, come alive. I'm at the party, baby. I'm gonna rock you, girl.
Very nice. Definitely an album to pick up once it becomes available for the masses. Folks, that's all the time I have for now. Thank you so much for tuning in to Full Frontal right here on CHRW 94.9 FM. I'm your host, August Donnelly, reminding you to be who you are, wherever you may find yourself. Without you, you're lost.
Be sure to tune in next time when August is joined by consummate punk rock band, Angry Agency.